Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I am your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the man who calls it right down the middle, Dion Tyre Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, the word of the day is genius. Webster's Dictionary defines genius as exceptional intellectual or creative power or other natural ability. Example, she was a teacher of a genius. The second definition is a person who is exceptionally intelligent or creative, either generally or in some particular respect. The third definition is a person regarded as exerting a powerful influence over another for good or for evil. And the fourth definition is the prevalent character or spirit of something such as nation or age. For many years now, many people, myself included, I will admit I once upon a time referred to Kyle Shanahan as an offensive genius, a brilliant offensive mind, a football savant. And I've come to realize over the recent weeks, over this entire 2021 NFL football season, that all of that was bullshit. All of the talk about Kyle Shanahan being a genius offensive mind, a brilliant play caller in the NFL, was absolute, pure, unadulterated bullshit. Fake, phony, disingenuous, fugazi, fraudulent bullshit. All of it. And I apologize to all the loyal listeners of the Dion Gordon Podcast, and I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you. Clearly, you people have good taste. I'm sorry. I humbly apologize with the utmost sincerity. Please accept my apology. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. I came on this podcast time and time again, more than once, and I talked about how great Kyle Shanahan's system is. I even did a podcast, Kyle versus Jimmy, and I took Kyle Shanahan's side. I believe I was drinking the Kool-Aid for many years. I thought Kyle Shanahan was an offensive genius, a brilliant offensive mind. I thought Kyle Shanahan was so ahead of the curve and everyone else is just trying to catch up with him. Schematically, I thought Kyle Shanahan was just so much more superior to every one of his peers in the same profession. I was blinded by being a homer, by being a 49er fan. Trying to be positive, trying to accentuate the good things and look on the bright side and not be so negative, so cynical. I already talked about this before. Last week or the past couple of weeks, I came to an awakening. I had a moment of clarity. I had an epiphany. And I realized when I was watching, I want to say the Eagles game, week two, is when I started to have my doubts. And then week three versus Green Bay, I was like, okay, I thought this guy was an offensive genius. And then week four versus Seattle, where we outgained them in total yardage, like 218-7 at one point, and couldn't produce a touchdown and only had a 7-0 lead going into halftime. That's when it really hit me like a ton of bricks. This dude is overrated. They gave this guy all the credit in the world for what I don't know. For his last name being Shanahan, is it nepotism? If it was Kyle Thomas or Kyle Jackson, if it was Kyle Gordon, would anyone give a fuck about this head coach of the San Francisco 49ers? Probably not. Would he be allowed to still coach this team into continued mediocrity like he's done since he took the reins in 2017 with a win-loss record of now, as of last Sunday, as of yesterday, 31-38. 31-38. And yet and still, when someone like me talks about Kyle Shanahan should be on the hot seat, should potentially lose his job at the end of the season, there should be more pressure, more aggression, more talk about someone else being the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, that this guy is grossly and severely and flagrantly, egregiously overrated. When I talk the way I talk, I get consistent pushback. Nah, dude, you're wrong. You're overreacting. You're crazy. You're full of shit. Who are they going to get to replace him? No, he's done a good job. No, all the injuries last year and this year, you got to give him a pass. Well, he took over a terrible football team. I admit that. I always gave him that point. I've said this many times on the podcast. The 2016 49ers were one of, if not the most untalented football teams I've ever seen. When Kyle got here, the cupboard was bare. But that's the problem. Kyle got here in 2017. Yes, the cupboard was bare. But you've had 5 years now to go grocery shopping and put some groceries up in that cupboard. You've had 5 years to go on Instacart and have someone deliver some food from Sprouts or Safeway or Trader Joe's to you. You've had 5 years, as Bill Parcells once so famously said in a press conference for the New England Patriots when he first took over the job in New England back in the 90s. He said, you know what? People want you to cook the dinner, but they won't let you go shopping for the groceries. Well, Kyle Shanahan every night gets to cook the dinner, and he went shopping for the groceries. He gets final say on player personnel decisions for this football team. There's a number of guys who've been on this team over the years who were quote-unquote Kyle Shanahan guys. Trent Taylor, Jalen Hurd, Tevin Coleman, Jet McKinnon, Mike McGlinchey. More on him, a lot more on him throughout this podcast. Mike McGlinchey is terrible. A number of guys, Mohamed Sanu, I can keep going, were chosen by Kyle Shanahan because they know the system. And that's all that matters. Not individual talent, not player ability, not being good at playing football. Fuck all of that. If you're good at playing football but had a bad day in practice, guess where you get to go? Kyle Shanahan's doghouse. Say hello to Brandon Ayuk for me. He's firmly entrenched in Kyle Shanahan's doghouse. This is a joke. It's not even funny. It's like a Kevin Hart comedy special. It's a joke, but it's not funny at all. It's arrogant, it's condescending, it's douchey, it's unnecessary, it's ridiculously stupid, and it's not funny. Kyle Shanahan is like a Kevin Hart comedy special. He just sucks at what he does for a living. Makes a lot of money. He's well off. He's paid. Financially, he has nothing to worry about. But is he actually good at his job similar to Kevin Hart? No. He's not good at his job, both as a head coach and as a play caller. Maybe he should give that duty up. Maybe Mike McDaniel should call plays from now on for the 49ers, because clearly Kyle can't do both. Where's the growth? Where's the progression? Where's the innovation? Where's the creativity? Where's the logic? Where's the sense? Where's the situational awareness? Where's the clock management? Where's anything? Where's anything inspiring? Where is it? You are the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, the five-time Super Bowl champion San Francisco 49ers. A signature franchise in the National Football League, a team that matters, a team with history and tradition and legendary great players all throughout the history. A team you cannot tell the story of pro football without talking about. A team that once upon a time was known for being innovative and on the cutting edge and a couple steps ahead of everybody else. Those days are gone. Those days are long gone. This team is garbage. They play hard. They put up a good fight. They lost a close game to the only undefeated team in the NFL right now on the road. It's a tough game. Tough, hard-nosed defensive football game. Low scoring, 17-10 was the final score. It's a tough football game, but still, good teams figure out a way to win those games. Good teams don't beat themselves with dumbass, ridiculous penalties. I don't want to hear about how close they were against Green Bay, Seattle, and Arizona, three pretty good football teams with three great quarterbacks. Fuck all that. Did you win the game or not? The win-loss standings only counts wins, losses, and ties. There's no fourth column for almost won or fifth column for moral victories. Or a sixth column for it could have went our way, but it just went theirs. No, fuck all of that. It's wins, losses, and ties. This is a results-oriented business, and the results for Kyle Shanahan are not good. 31-38, lost 9 of the last 10 home games this season, 2-3, currently on a 3-game losing streak. What am I supposed to do with that as a fan? How am I supposed to feel about that? That's bullshit. Name another coach in the NFL that can go 5 years with a football team, have one winning season, and survive. Doug Peterson won the Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2017. He got fired 3 years later. He won the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan lost it. Doug Peterson actually won the Super Bowl and got fired. How does this guy keep a job? I'm not saying fire him right now, but what I am saying firmly, with the utmost conviction, what I'm saying is, if we get to the end of the season and the 49ers once again have a losing season with double-digit losses, and that's looking very likely, by the way, if they fuck around and go 7-10, 6-11, 5-12, tell me what reason you have for Kyle Shanahan not getting fired. Do you want to see more of this? How many passes can you give someone? How many second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chances can you give someone? 5 years, one winning season, 31-38, 9-10 home games lost, not developing quarterbacks, terrible talent evaluator, clock management, situational awareness, team being prepared for the game. All of that horrible decision making throughout 5 years, being arrogant for no fucking reason. What is Kyle Shanahan want to be arrogant? I understand Bill Belichick being arrogant. He's won 6 Super Bowls. Kyle Shanahan's won 0. How can you be arrogant when you've never won anything? And of course, it's never Kyle's fault. No, 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 no. That's impossible. It can never be the offensive genius's fault. How dare you even assert such a thing? It's never Kyle's fault. It's the player's execution. Guys were open every play. Players didn't execute. Grant Cohn, my guy, Grant Cohn, asked Kyle Shanahan in the postgame, without talking about player execution, why has your team consistently gotten off to slow starts? Kyle Shanahan's response, that's a broad question. What the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean it's a broad question? This is an opportunity for you to accept responsibility, culpability, accountability, all those things. It's a very simple, easy answer. Even if you don't mean it, just fucking say it. When asked that question, here's the answer you should have gave, Kyle. Are you ready for this? I'm giving you a free game right now. Cost you nothing. Pay me no mind. Check this out. When you ask that question, without talking about player execution, what has been the problem with your team scoring points in the first half of football games? Here's what you should have said, Kyle. You know what? That's a good question. It starts and ends with me. I'm the head coach, offensive coordinator, and play caller. So our troubles, our issues in the first half of the games, it all starts with me. I have to be better in that aspect. I will be better going forward. And from this point on, this team will come out ready to play, ready to execute as a well-oiled machine and be as efficient as possible. That's what you should have said, Kyle. Take responsibility one time. Just give me that one time. Take responsibility. Ownership of what is going on. You are the head coach. You're in charge of this shit, whether you like it or not. I don't want to hear about player execution or lack thereof. What about coach execution? Why are the players consistently being called out for lack of execution, but the coach is never being called out for incompetence and lack of awareness? Call this motherfucker out. I don't care if it's just me out here by myself doing it or just Grant Cohn or whoever. That's two people, basically, calling this guy out and a couple of fans here and there. But for the most part, no one calls this dude out on his consistent and continued bullshit and his team being shit on a yearly basis. No one calls it out. I spoke about this on the last podcast. I'll keep on speaking about this because it's fucking irritating. At what point do we call this dude out? That was the only tough question asked throughout the entire 15-minute post-game news conference yesterday. The only one. At this point, I'm waiting for other 49er beat writers and reporters to just straight up ask Kyle Shanahan, you know what, Kyle, what do you prefer to have for dinner, chicken parm or the ribeye steak? Softball, lollipop questions. Stop kissing this dude's ass. What has he proved? What has he won? What has he done? Nothing. Why so much reverence and respect for a coach who's accomplished nothing? One winning season in 5 years. And in yesterday's performance, the debut, the NFL debut of Trey Lance as a starting quarterback in the National Football League was an even further indictment on the continued ineptitude of Kyle Shanahan. That game plan yesterday sucked. Pistol formations, shotgun formations. Go back and look at Trey Lance's college tape and tell me what you see. He's more than capable of lining up under center. They ran a similar system at North Dakota State. A lot of 21 personnel at North Dakota State. He knows how to play football from under center. But yet, we come out yesterday, primarily almost in pistol and shotgun formations. Trey Lance yesterday had 16 rushing attempts. Elijah Mitchell had 9 carries, averaging 4.8 yards a carry. And for some odd reason, we deviate from the run game unprovoked. It's only 10-0. I can see if you're down 31-0. That wasn't the case. The defense kept us in it. Give credit to D'Amico Ryans, a.k.a. the best coach on the team right now, defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans. His unit kept the game close, kept us in it against the number one offense in pro football, the Arizona Cardinals, a team that had been dominant all season long, putting up over 30-plus on a weekly basis. Kyler Murray, a front-runner for league MVP, just scoring all kinds of points on everyone they played against until yesterday. Give D'Amico Ryans, his flowers, his credit, his respect. He's the best coach on that football team right now. Because Kyle Shanahan is not. He's garbage. He's shit. He's terrible. And the game plan he had yesterday for Trey Lance, making his NFL debut as a starter, was utterly abysmal. 16 carries. Elijah Mitchell, 9, averaging 4.8 a clip. And you just stopped running the football? For what? Why? Trey Lance opens up running lanes in the running game because of his threat as a running quarterback. You're getting yardage on the ground. I'll say this again. Your starting running back for yesterday's game is giving you 4.8 yards a clip, 9 carries, and you stop running the football. Trey Sermon doesn't get in the game until the fourth quarter. Has 2 carries total. How come when Jimmy Garoppolo plays, he's allowed to lean on the running game? The running game is accentuated. It's the focus when Jimmy Garoppolo was playing. But when Trey Lance gets out there, okay, rookie, go out there and win this game by yourself. Fuck you. You're on your own. What are we talking about right now? The rookie has to go win the game by himself. The 8-year veteran gets to lean on the running game. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't the running game be the focus to help out the young rookie quarterback, the youngest starting quarterback in the NFL, only 21 years of age, only had 318 pass attempts at North Dakota State, at FCS school, only really played 1 year of college football as a full-time starter, a total lack of experience, only had 17 games played at NDSU. A young quarterback trying to find his way, his first ever start on the road in a hostile environment against the only undefeated team in the NFL. With a tough, nasty, vicious defensive front 7. Good overall defense. A front 4 that features Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt. Jimmy Garoppolo gets more help than Trey Lance, who was making his first ever NFL start yesterday. I find that peculiar. I find that weird. I find that ridiculous. I find that flat out fucking stupid. All the above. That's fucking stupid. And yet, despite all of that, Trey Lance individually by himself accounted for 83% of the 49er offense yesterday. Trey Lance yesterday was 15-29, 192 yards, 1 interception, also 16 carries and 89 yards. By himself in his NFL debut as a rookie starting quarterback in the NFL on the road against the number one team in pro football, the only undefeated team in the league, Trey Lance by himself accounted for 281 of the 49ers' 338 yards of total offense yesterday. He gave his team an opportunity to win. Was he perfect? Far from it. Was he good? Pretty good, especially when given the circumstances. Did he miss open receivers? Yes. Did he hold on to the ball a little bit too long every now and then? Yes. Did he miss easy checkdowns? Yes. The interception he threw to Buda Baker, was that a good decision to even throw that ball? No. He scrambles out of the pocket. He has an easy checkdown to Kyle Juszczyk, or he could have just ran the ball himself and probably picked up a first down. He tried to throw it downfield, missed badly, missed high, got picked off by Buda Baker. A lot of black jerseys back there. Not a good decision. Did he play a clean game? Far from it. But this is NFL debut, and I'm not trying to pacify Trey Lance. I'm not coddling him. I'm not giving him excuses. I'm just stating facts. This is your first NFL game against a tough football team in their building, on the road. This is asking a lot. And this kid comported himself appropriately and gave his team an opportunity to win the football game. They didn't lose that game because of Trey Lance. The interception he threw was in the first quarter, first drive of the game. After that, no turnover-worthy plays. Didn't fumble, no picks. not even a near pick from what I saw. He played good enough football, and there was a number of drops by the receivers. He had a third down pass to Mohamed Sanu to hit Sanu right in the face mask. He dropped it. The ball was a little bit wobbly. Sanu should still catch it, though. You're an NFL receiver. You're getting paid money for this. If the ball is in your vicinity, if the ball hits you in the hands, as an NFL professional football wide receiver, you should make the catch. And Sanu dropped it. Deebo Samuel dropped an easy slant across the middle. Well-thrown ball. There were a number of plays. There was lack of execution all over the place. To his credit, Kyle Shanahan said this in the postgame, that Trey Lance played well. Other guys got to do a better job of supporting him and helping him do his job easier. He's a rookie. He's brand new. There's going to be growing pains. I said this on numerous podcasts. Don't expect Trey Lance to be perfect yet. Don't expect him to be a finished product yet. Once again, he hasn't played football in 2 years, 318 pass attempts at North Dakota State versus FCS competition, only 17 starts in college. He's as raw and green and unpolished as it gets. There's a long way to go for Trey Lance, and I'm okay with that. I'm 100% okay with that. The ship has sailed on this being a Super Bowl contending team, number one. I don't know where that ignorance started from, but a playoff team, playoffs, nah. They're the worst team in their own division. Even with Geno Smith being a quarterback for the Seahawks, I still would say the 49ers probably right now are the worst team in the NFC West. There's no playoffs this year. Stop being delusional, 49er faithful, quotation marks around the word faithful. Stop being delusional. Stop being ridiculous. There's no playoffs this year. This team will be lucky to win 9 games. With the quarterback situation being in flux, with the secondary being in shambles, with the interior offensive line, the offensive line in general, outside of my man Trent Williams and Lincoln Tomlinson, everyone else is terrible. Let's call it what it is. With the coaching ineptitude, where is this team going to make the playoffs at? How? The ship has sailed. So to me, the biggest reason I'm watching 49er games this season going forward is to see the continued growth and development, hopefully, of Trey Lance. Because I firmly believe Trey Lance, with the appropriate quarterbacks coach and head coach and offensive coordinator, with people who actually know what they're doing and can actually develop a quarterback, someone with a proven track record of developing quarterbacks, Trey Lance in 2 or 3 years can be where Josh Allen is at right now. Brian Daboll. That's the name I would toss out into the atmosphere right now. That's the name I would go after if I was running the 49ers. And Kyle Shanahan gave me another double-digit loss season, I would fire him expeditiously at the end of the season and go make a phone call. I make a personal visit to Buffalo and say, Brian Daboll, what do you want? There's an empty check. You go ahead and fill it in. I've seen what you did with Josh Allen the last 3 years, and I compare Trey Lance to Josh Allen. They're both about 6'4", 6'5", big, stout, physical, athletic, dual-threat quarterbacks. They came from small schools. They both struggled with accuracy coming out of college. Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming only completed about 54% of his passes his senior season at Wyoming. Trey Lance right now struggling with accuracy. They both have a lot of similarities. But you look at Josh Allen right now. Did you see that Chiefs game on Sunday night? Holy shit. Josh Allen carved them up like O.J. Simpson with Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman. He carved the Chiefs defense up. No word on whether or not he caught a flight to Chicago the same night, but still, he carved this defense up. And I know the Chiefs are the worst defense in the NFL, but Josh Allen does this every week. He's awesome. He might be the best quarterback in pro football right now. There's a lot of worthy contenders to that list. Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady at 44. How the fuck is he still doing this? Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, those to me, Aaron Rodgers, those to me are the guys who are worthy of the throne of being the best quarterback in the NFL. And Trey Lance, to me, has the potential to get to that level in 3 years with competent and coherent and clear coaching, good coaching that can develop him and progress him forward. What progress have you seen from Trey Lance? I said this on the last podcast. Still makes the same mistakes he was making in the preseason. Everyone says he needs to sit for 2 or 3 years. He's been sitting this whole time. What progress have you seen from him? Not very much. And yet and still, as unpolished as he is, he gave this team an opportunity to win yesterday. Do not put this loss on Trey Lance. Put this loss on Kyle Shanahan. The offensive play calling, the game plan, what the hell was that? Like I said, pistol wins, shotgun formations, design quarterback runs, Trey Lance up the middle, Trey Lance up the middle. Are you trying to get this kid hurt? And according to the word I heard today, he actually did get hurt somehow at some point during the game. I didn't see it happen. I didn't see him limping after the game. No reporters reported about Trey Lance showing a visible limp in the postgame news conference or anything else. It came out today that Trey Lance has a knee sprain that will be out 1 to 2 weeks. The validity of that, I doubt. I smell bullshit. I feel like this is a lazy cop-out and an excuse for Kyle to go back to Jimmy Garoppolo for the game in 2 weeks versus the Indianapolis Colts. The 49ers have a bye week this week, thank God. I feel like Trey Lance's phantom knee injury, which allegedly happened, he didn't realize it happened, so he was in bed that night. I don't even want to go into that, but apparently he woke up with a sore knee, told Kyle, had an MRI done, results came back good, no ligament tears or nothing like that. But he has knee soreness and a knee sprain. He'll be out for 1 to 2 weeks. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. I think that's all bullshit. I think that's further mendacious behavior from Kyle Shanahan. And to me, I just don't trust that. To me, that's an easy cop-out, a lazy excuse to go back to Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll keep on saying that. I believe that. It's a phantom knee injury. Did it really happen? When did it happen? No one knows when it happened. Trey Lance doesn't even know when it happened. No one knows when this happened. He showed no ill effects yesterday in the post-game news conference. He didn't talk about being his knee hurting. He said he felt great yesterday after the game. One thing I will point out, a couple of things I will point out about Trey Lance's individual performance. Learn how to slide. Get the fuck down. You are no longer playing FCS. You are no longer the biggest and strongest man on the field. You're a big dude, 6'4", 230. Can't take it away from you. But in the NFL, everybody's a big dude. Everybody can run fast. Everybody can hit hard. Trey Lance learned yesterday, get the fuck on the ground. Hopefully he learned this. There were a number of plays yesterday where he took some shots, trying to extend plays, trying to make something happen. Miraculously, he only got sacked one time yesterday. So many people were anti-Trey Lance for reasons that have nothing to do with football, skin color. But so many people are anti-Trey Lance and so pro-Jimmy Garoppolo, and they say, well, if Jimmy played yesterday, we would have won. If Jimmy played yesterday, he would have been injured in the second quarter. He might have died yesterday. You might have had to write an epitaph for Jimmy Garoppolo if he had played against that Cardinals defensive front. He wouldn't have made it past halftime. Trey Lance escaped out of about 4 or 5 certified sacks and made something happen. His teammates did him no favors. How many holding penalties were called or false starts were called that set it to a 1st and 20, 1st and 25, 2nd and 20, 2nd and 25? Every time the offense had rhythm, they moved the ball the entire game. There were a number of times they got in the Cardinals' territory and put together drives, but his teammates would fail him, Mike McGlinchey. His teammates would fail him. And Trent Williams, too, to be honest. My guy, Trent Williams, had a couple of holding penalties. I think a lot of that, at least as far as Trent is concerned, is having to make the adjustment to blocking for a running dual-threat mobile quarterback like Trey Lance as opposed to blocking for the quintessential pocket quarterback, which is Jimmy Garoppolo, the drop-back passer. The guy's going to get the ball out of his hands in about 2 seconds or less. He's not a running threat. He's not going to extend plays. So it makes your job harder as an offensive lineman trying to block for a guy like Trey Lance as opposed to blocking for a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. This is also where coaching comes into play. Coach your offensive lineman on the differences between blocking for a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo and blocking for a guy like Trey Lance. It's going to be a different experience for you. With Jimmy, you know exactly where he's going to be in the pocket. With Trey Lance, you don't know. So that puts a lot of stress on the offensive line. I won't ignore that fact. But the fact that you had 5 second-half holding calls, that's a problem. Lance found Kyle Juszczyk to move the ball into Arizona territory. Trent Williams committed a flag to make it 3rd and 7. After Lance picked up a first down with his legs, Mike McGlinchey was called for a holding to make it 3rd and 17. This is a recurring trend with Mike McGlinchey. Lance found Ross Dwelley for 12 yards and Mohamed Sanu for 6 yards and converted 3rd and 4th down despite both penalties. That was also a theme throughout the game. The 49ers were in 1st and 20, 2nd and 25, and Trey Lance kept making plays. Trey Lance kept making plays to make it 3rd and manageable, 4th and manageable, to make it, you know, to make it more palatable for the 49ers. Like I said, they moved the ball the entire game between the 20s and just couldn't score points. Part of the reason they couldn't score points, Kyle Shanahan's repeated dumbass decisions to keep going forward on 4th down. This was head-scratching. I'm already bald, so I have no hair to scratch. I'm scratching my scalp at this point, trying to figure out what the fuck are you thinking. I know Robbie Gould's hurt. You just signed a kicker last week. I assume you've watched him kick before. I assume you watched tape on him. I assume you've developed some type of confidence in him, or else why would you sign him in the first place? So on 4th and 4, first half at about the 37-yard line, you can't bring your kicker out and take a 54-yard kick. I know that's a tough kick, but still, you just signed the guy. It's the first quarter. Why are you going for it? 4th down and goal, the 1-yard line. Still 10-0. Your defense is playing well. Your defense is keeping you in the game. You're not getting blown out. It's a close football game. You need all the points you can get. Does Kyle Shanahan take an easy 3? It's at the 1-yard line. It's not going to be that long of a kick. Just take the easy 3 points as a layup. Nah. Tells them to go for it. They run play action. It gets blown up immediately. The Cardinals don't buy it. Trey Lance rolls to his right. Now, he had Elijah Mitchell in the flat. He maybe probably should have thrown to Elijah Mitchell, but he could have got stopped too. You don't know. I mean, it's easy to second guess, but I would have probably thrown to Elijah Mitchell. And that's something else Trey Lance has to learn. Get rid of the football. Let your playmakers make plays. You ain't got to be Superman. We know you're a great athlete. We know you're awesome. Relax and let the other guys at the skill positions make plays. Let Kyle Juszczyk make a play. Let Elijah Mitchell make a play. Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, let those guys make plays. You don't have to make every play. That's symptomatic of a rookie young quarterback. I've seen so many young rookie quarterbacks over the years fall into that same trap of thinking, I got to make every play. I got to impress people. I got to show my skill set off every single play. No, you don't. Calm down, dude. Relax. Take a deep breath. You have other people on the team. They're pretty good at playing football, too. Let them do their thing. Trey Lance decides to run this ball in himself, or try to anyway. Gets met at the goal line by Cardinals linebacker Isaiah Simmons. Outstanding young linebacker Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson University. Tough football player. He hits Trey Lance at the goal line, stops him short. He gets hurt on the play. Isaiah Simmons, he had to go into the tent. Concussion protocol. Trey Lance just bounced back up. Like I said, if that was Jimmy, he'd have been out for the season. But Trey Lance just bounced back up and just walked back to the sideline. But I don't like the play call. I don't like the decision to even go for it in the first place. Take the easy field goal, make it 10-3. You combine that with the field goal you could have had in the first half, is 10-6. In a tough, hard-nosed, defensive-minded game like this, you need points, as much points as possible. Don't leave points on the field. That's what Kyle Shanahan repeatedly kept doing. Then you have the egregiously fucked up, stupid, idiotic, imbecilic, nonsensical, dumbass 4th and 4 play at the 48-yard line. They bring in Kyle Juszczyk, who motions under center, lined up in the slot, motions under center to take the snap and go for a sneak, basically. They did this exact same play 2 weeks ago versus the Green Bay Packers. And you know what? Matt Maiocco, to his credit, asked Kyle in the postgame, you just recently ran this play, so it's recently been put on film. You don't think that was a problem? You don't think Arizona maybe saw this coming? Kyle once again gave a bullshit answer. That's a good question. So 2 good questions were asked yesterday. 2 out of about 25. 2 good questions. This is a stupid play call. This is a fucking dumbass play call. They just saw this 2 weeks ago. It's on tape. You're not catching anybody by surprise. You're going to have Kyle Juszczyk, your fullback, motion to become the quarterback now. You've been using Trey Lance all season long as a 2-point conversion specialist and short yardage running back. Except on this play. You bring in Kyle Juszczyk for this? I like Juszczyk, but come on. This was a dumbass play call. This caught nobody off guard by surprise. Now, you could go back and look at the tape and see that Arizona may have been lined up offsides. whatever, calls are missed on a play-by-play basis in the NFL. The game moves too fast. I don't even get mad at the referees. They miss calls all the time. Shit happens. I get mad at my own team. I get mad at the play call. Why would you call this stupid-ass play? This made no sense. And once again, the game was still close. I think it was 10-7 at this point. You're at the 48-yard line. Punt the fucking football. A couple of years ago, you wasted a fourth. I won't say wasted, but you spent a fourth-round draft pick on a punter, Mitch Wisnowski, who's a really good punter. Was special teams player of the week a few weeks ago. He's a good punter. He's one of the better players on the team, really, all things considered. One of the best players at his position throughout the NFL. Mitch Wisnowski is a good punter. So fucking use him. You're at the 48-yard line. Your defense is playing lights out all game. Punt the ball down the field. Pin them inside their own 10-yard line. Your defensive line is getting home frequently. Nick Bosa had another sack in this game. He has 5 sacks in 5 games. Nick Bosa coming off of ACL appears to not have lost a step. He's still awesome. He's still out there kicking ass and getting shit done. Your defense throughout the entire game, for the most part, was kicking ass and getting shit done. Now, a lot of defensive pass interference calls throughout the game. I'm looking at you, Josh Norman, repeatedly throughout the entire game. I kept hearing pass interference, defense, number 26. The 49ers lead the league in defensive pass interference calls. It is what it is. This is what you have now. You put all your eggs in one basket with Jason Verrett. You made no real movement in the offseason to improve your secondary. Where is Ambry Thomas at? How terrible must he be? This is your fourth-round draft pick this year. Another draft pick who's not playing football for the 49ers. He must be awful if he can't get on the field. If you had to go out and get Josh Norman, who had a good year in Buffalo last year, but let's be serious about this. Josh Norman, he plays hard, he gives maximum effort, but he will get beat from time to time. It happens. Happens to him quite frequently. Ambry Thomas can't even get on the field? Is he that hurt or is he that terrible? Why'd you make the draft pick then? Similar to Aaron Banks, second round pick. Why'd you make the pick? Is he hurt or is he that terrible? 49ers yesterday were a mess on both sides of the ball. It's undisciplined, penalties everywhere. Which brings me to Mike McGlinchey. To say that Mike McGlinchey struggled yesterday would be a gross understatement. Mike McGlinchey had a grade from Pro Football Focus of 49.7. That's not good. That's his worst grade all season. He allowed 4 pressures, 2 quarterback hits, 1 sack. He was also the 49ers' most penalized player through 5 weeks. More flags against him than the rest of the offensive linemen combined. Mike McGlinchey is an absolute disaster at right tackle. Mike McGlinchey is like the police at the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th trying to fight against an insurrection. Utterly useless. Mike McGlinchey sucks at playing right tackle. I said this all last season, and I've seen it getting worse and worse and worse throughout every game this year. Mike McGlinchey is a former first-round draft pick in 2018. The number one pick for the 49ers that year, the 9th pick overall. And this guy is he's a right guard. He's only decent at run blocking. And pass blocking, he is shit. Awful, garbage, despicable, abysmal, pathetic, inept, worthless, embarrassing, all the above. Mike McGlinchey sucks at right tackle. Last year, everyone thought, well, he's just too skinny. He got to eat something. He got to put some weight on. Well, he put about 30 pounds on during the offseason. He bulked up, and he still sucks. It's fundamentals. It's technique. It's hand placement. It's aggression. You got to fight when you play offensive lineman, man. Initiate contact. Fight the motherfucker you're trying to block. He never does that. He made J.J. Watt look like 2014 J.J. Watt yesterday. J.J. Watt found the fountain of youth yesterday, and the fountain of youth is named Mike McGlinchey. McGlinchey is horrible. How else do you want me to say this? In obvious passing downs, whenever the 49ers are losing a game, McGlinchey is a complete detriment to the team. He's only effective when the 49ers have the lead and can run the football. And when George Kittle was playing, George Kittle didn't play yesterday. Without George Kittle, McGlinchey's even worse. And Kyle Shanahan did him no favors by calling so many obvious passing plays. This is why I said the game plan was so stupid. That's another reason. You're going to have your first-round draft pick quarterback who you traded two first-round picks to move up and select, go against an elite pass rush in the Arizona Cardinals, Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, etc. And you're going to have, okay, you got your all-pro left tackle with Trent Williams. And as good as he is, still had some mistakes yesterday. Still had some holds, some false starts, and got beat a few times by Chandler Jones. It happens. Chandler Jones is an outstanding defensive end in the NFL, a great football player. No shame in getting beat by him. No shame in getting beat by J.J. Watt, but this J.J. Watt is not J.J. Watt of 5 or 6 years ago. He's still good, but he's not on that level anymore. And this happens to McGlinchey every week. Like I said, Trent Williams is the best left tackle in pro football. He plays at a high level every week. He still had a good game overall yesterday. McGlinchey never plays well, especially against good football players in obvious passing downs. We saw this all last season. And they picked up the fifth-year option on McGlinchey. This organization is full of idiots. All of them. Everyone in the front office should wear a dunce cap the entire season. Mike McGlinchey is terrible. I can't say that or express that enough. On obvious passing downs, when the 49ers are losing, he gets exploited on a weekly basis. The guy provides nothing. You might as well slide him inside and have McGlinchey play right guard. It can't be any worse. It's not like Daniel Brunskill is any good. It's not like Aaron Banks is even playing. You don't play the football players you draft, and the football players you do draft and play are not good. Mike McGlinchey is going to get – he's already gotten people hurt before. He's going to get Trey Lance hurt for real. He got emasculated yesterday by J.J. Watt. That was embarrassing. That was troubling. Not surprising. Like I said, I've seen this before. I saw it all last season. And in the Green Bay game and the Seattle game when the 49ers are losing, I have to try to mount a comeback, which means you got to throw the football. He gets his lunch money taken on a repeated basis. He gets bullied. He gets beat up. Teams know when they play the 49ers, I'm going to take my best pass rusher and line him up opposite of number 69. I'm not going to deal with number 71. He's good. Trent Williams. I'll take my chances with 69, Mike McGlinchey, because he's pitiful at right tackle. I mean, completely worthless at right tackle. What does he provide for this football team? Moral support? Is he a nice guy? Is he a good guy to have in the locker room? He's not a good guy to have on the field. He's fucking terrible. I mean, just garbage. He gets called for a hold on every big play in the second half. Or a false start. Or he gets beaten by J.J. Watt or whoever he's trying to block on that play. If you want to say one player lost the game, you can say he lost the game. You can say Mike McGlinchey lost the football game yesterday. Every time Trey Lance did something positive and got called back for a penalty, and it was usually Mike McGlinchey who committed the penalty. Penalties, poor play, lack of execution, and stupid play calling, abysmal coaching cost the 49ers this game. I'm going to go back to the very start of the game, the first possession. They're lined up, shotgun formation, as was the theme throughout the game. Empty back formation. Elijah Mitchell motions out to make it an empty back formation. They snap the football to Trey Lance. Immediately, the offensive line gets blown up. Daniel Brunskill gets pushed back into Trey Lance's face. It's a five-man protection, but there's seven guys on the offensive line. Chandler Jones is lined up outside of McGlinchey. That's automatic mismatch. The pocket collapses. Trey Lance, due to his athleticism, is able to escape out of the pocket and pick up a first down with his legs. But the offensive play design, the architecture of the play, is fucking garbage. And that goes back to Kyle Shanahan. The second play from scrimmage, complete dysfunction and just chaos on this read option play where no one knows where to go with the football. No one knows who's going to take the fake, take the ball. No one knows anything. Guys just running around, crisscrossing in motion. No concept of what the fuck they're supposed to do in this play. Trey Lance, once again, makes chicken salad out of chicken shit and completes the Kyle Juszczyk in the flat to pick up yardage and get a first down. Good job, Trey Lance. The third play from scrimmage on the opening drive, they run a quarterback power into a five-man front. The Cardinals are running a 5-2 defense, predominantly. They have five men, about seven men, really, stacked up on the line of scrimmage once you include the linebackers. A five-man front. Your offensive line gets no push whatsoever, and you run quarterback power. I'll ask this question again. Is Kyle Shanahan deliberately trying to get Trey Lance hurt? Because that's what it looked like to me. Are you trying to get this man hurt? The next play, 2nd and 9. This time, much better job at protection. Chandler Jones being doubled. J.J. Watt being doubled. Trey Lance climbs the pocket, steps up. There was an errant pass to Travis Benjamin downfield. Misses high, gets picked off by Buda Baker. That one's on Trey. That play is firmly on Trey Lance. Offensive lineman, good protection, good play design, good job by Kyle Shanahan. This play was on Trey Lance. Stepped up, like I said earlier, he had Juszczyk open in the flat. He could have just run it. Those two options would have been a much better option. He had Travis Benjamin open on that play too. He just missed. It was a bad throw. That one's on Trey Lance. The next possession, I'm going to skip ahead to 3rd and 7. They try to motion Deebo Samuel. And the Cardinals defense doesn't even bite. They don't even care. Not even looking at him. And it's a design quarterback run, quarterback power off the left side. On 3rd and 7, Trey picks up 5 yards to now make it 4th and 2. The next play on the 4th and 2 that I talked about earlier in the first half, which you could have just kicked the field goal on. 4th and 2 at about the 35-yard line. 52-yard kick, 50-yard kick, whatever, NFL kicker, even one just signed off the street should be able to make this. But Kyle, in his infinite wisdom, goes for it, and they run a counter tray on this play. So what that means is that the guard, in this case, Lakin Tomlinson, is going to pull, and his job is to get out in front and fill the gap and make the initial block so that Trey Lance can fill in behind him and pick up the yardage. Trey Lance on this play got out in front of Lakin Tomlinson, which is not supposed to happen. That's a mistake on Trey's part. Young quarterback, still learning. Too eager to make a play. Lakin Tomlinson, too slow to get out in front. Too slow to get to his area of responsibility. But he's supposed to get out in front of Trey Lance and make that initial block on Zaven Collins, the Cardinals' first-round draft pick. A very good football player in his own right out of Tulsa. Good player. Trey Lance beats Lakin Tomlinson to the hole. He gets stuffed short of the first down. Turnover on downs. 49ers relinquish possession and give the ball back to the Cardinals. All those plays were a microcosm of what the entire day was about. Just poor play calling, poor design, poor architecture of the plays, poor everything. Poor execution, yes, but it starts and finishes to me with the head coach who called an offensive game plan that was not conducive to accentuating what Trey Lance can do. This is a game plan to me that was almost like, see, I told you he's not good. I told you he couldn't play. I told you he needs to sit. I told you Jimmy Garoppolo's the guy. I've been saying this for the longest time. I don't think Kyle Shanahan really wanted Trey Lance. I think he got forced into playing Trey Lance because Jimmy predictably got hurt. And who saw that coming? Everyone. So he had to play Trey Lance. And I don't think he put together a game plan that made sense to help this kid out. It's his first start on the road. The coach and quarterback should be working together in concert to make this kid as good as he possibly can be. He's a good football player. He's going to be great if he gets the appropriate and the correct amount of coaching. If he gets a coach who knows what the fuck is going on, who knows how to properly use him, he can be great. The skill set's there. The talent is there. I'll say this one more time. Once again, he did not cost us the football game yesterday. Kyle Shanahan lost that football game yesterday. Clock management, situational awareness, play calling, all the above. The head coach lost that football game yesterday and completely wasted a absolutely tremendous performance by the defense where they limited Kyler Murray to only negative five rushing yards, including a negative 11-yard before contact, only one explosive run, according to Pro Football Focus. Kyler Murray dropped back 34 times in this one, completing 22 of 31 passes for 240 yards and a touchdown. Those are pretty good numbers for the 49er defense. Did a great job yesterday. The running backs for Arizona, Chase Edmonds and James Conner, combined for 20 touches and only 61 yards. It's a pretty good performance. DeAndre Hopkins was DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, there's nothing you can do about him. He had an excellent game for the most part. Rondale Moore had the catch of the day. I'll say the catch of the season. First of all, Kyler Murray gets flushed out of the pocket to his left. Is rolling as he's making his throw. Doesn't even set his feet. Throws an absolute dime downfield to Rondale Moore, the Cardinals draft pick this season, second round pick, who just made a spectacular catch out of Purdue, second round pick, and drags his toes on the sideline. Nate Burleson, good morning football, toe drag, swag, whatever you want to call it. It was reviewed. It was ruled a catch. Initially ruled an incompletion, ruled a catch. tremendous play by Rondale Moore and Kyler Murray for even making that throw to begin with. But what I'm trying to say is the 49er defense holds this explosive offense in check, and they're failed by the 49er offense, most notably the architect of the offense, Kyle Shanahan, who for some unknown reason is above reproach among 49er fans and 49er media, the weak, soft, milquetoast, vanilla, bitch-ass 49er media and fans refuse to ever question Kyle Shanahan on anything. I don't know why. It baffles me. I don't understand it. Question him. Call him out. Ridicule him. Put him on blast. Because as I said in the last podcast, if you took Kyle Shanahan and all of this fuckery and put it in either Chicago, New York, D.C., Boston, Philly, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, some tough Midwest East Coast city, this shit would not stand. The fans and the media would not put up with this flagrant bullshit from this head coach who has not accomplished anything. And that's just my two cents on Kyle Shanahan. Let's finish up with some positives, though. Nick Bosa, as I said, had an outstanding game. According to Pro Football Focus, he had a 91.6 overall defensive grade, an 87.9 pass rushing grade. He had a sack, a hit, two hurries for a total of four pressures on 25 passing snaps, and he didn't have a single negatively graded play according to Pro Football Focus on run defense. He did have a moment that worried me, that scared me a little bit. He banged up his wrist when he was making a sack on Kyler Murray, got up wincing in pain, holding his wrist, trying to shake it off, went to the sideline, got some treatment. Fortunately for 49er fans, came back in the game, because the last thing we need is more injuries, especially to an outstanding football player like Nick Bosa. Speaking of outstanding, awesome, incredible football players, Fred Warner, the best football player on the team, led the 49ers in snaps, played 60, and finished with a 64.4 defensive grade. The linebacker had five total tackles and a missed tackle on a 26-run defense snaps and allowed two catches on three targets with 33 coverage snaps. Awesome game. What else do you expect from Fred Warner, the best middle linebacker in pro football and the best player on the San Francisco 49ers? Safeties Jaquaski Tartt and Jimmy Ward and cornerback Josh Norman co-led the unit in snaps on secondary, each coming out with 34 coverage snaps. Ward and Tartt posted respectable coverage grades of 56 and 55.2 respectively and combined for nine tackles. Josh Norman, as aforementioned, Josh Norman struggled against the Arizona attack. Seven targets went his way, allowed four receptions for 46 yards, a touchdown, a number of defensive pass interference calls, and an abysmal 33.7 coverage grade. Josh Norman did not have a good game yesterday, to say the least. Jaquaski Tartt, Jimmy Ward, pretty good. Jimmy Ward did give up a big completion late in the game that was reminiscent of the big completion they gave up in Super Bowl 54 on that jet chip wasp play that the Chiefs ran against us, where Tyreek Hill made a big catch on 3rd and 15. This looks similar to that. I think Ward got a little bit out of position, might have lost the football in the lights. I want to give him the benefit of a doubt. Jimmy Ward is a good football player. So I'm nicer to guys who are consistently good football players. I'm harsh on the guys who are consistently shit. So McGlinchey and Garoppolo get very few passes from me. Guys like that. Brunskill, too. Daniel Brunskill is fucking terrible at right guard. The guys who are consistently terrible, I don't give them that much passes. The guys who, for the most part, are pretty good football players, I'll give you a pass. So Trent Williams gets a pass. Jimmy Ward gets a pass. Fred Warner, on the rare occasions he ever fucks up, gets a pass. Because more often than not, these guys are awesome football players. They do more positive than they do negative. So I'm not going to criticize a player for making a mistake here and there. But the guys who make consistent, repeated mistakes, they're going to get the criticism from me. And that's just the way it's going to be. And Kyle Shanahan, as head coach, who makes repeated mistakes as a head coach, is going to get called out by me, because no one else is going to do it. So somebody has to call this motherfucker out, and I'll be the man for the job. Kyle Shanahan needs to do a better job, and if he doesn't, he should be fired by the end of the season if the 49ers finish with another losing record. I said what I said. Trey Lance, overall, nice job, young man. Just do me a favor and please learn how to protect yourself on the football field. Get down, slide, run out of bounds. Don't try to take on every defender. It's not going to work out for you long term. You won't even make it through a full season. Allegedly, you're hurt right now. And I say allegedly because no one can even specify which knee it is. All I heard in the middle of the day, breaking news, is I'm watching the Red Sox Tampa Bay Rays baseball game. I get an alert on my phone. Trey Lance is out with a knee sprain. No one says which knee, right or left. You only have two of them. Pick one. No one can even specify which knee it is, but he's hurt, though, and it's sprained. Sure it is. But overall, Trey Lance, nice job. Very good, given the circumstances. A few plays here and there, some food left on the table, some things to clean up and correct, but very inspiring and motivating for any 49er fan watching this who wants to be objective and just evaluate Trey Lance as a football player and not look at other shit or preconceived notions or biases that you have against Trey Lance for whatever reason, skin color, or your favoritism and allegiance to Jimmy Garoppolo. Just watch and evaluate Trey Lance as a football player and understand the circumstances surrounding him, and you'll come away saying, you know what, it wasn't that bad. It's pretty good, actually. Pretty good performance yesterday by the rookie quarterback making his debut as a starter in the NFL. Not bad. 49ers, as I said earlier, have a bye week this week. That's a good thing. That spares me from watching this team lose and embarrass themselves and get, you know, just shit the bed and self-inflicted wounds and stupid coaching mistakes. The next game is a Sunday night game versus the Indianapolis Colts, who are now 1-4 after losing on Monday Night Football to the Baltimore Ravens. Two desperate teams in this game. Two teams who need a win. Try to salvage what's left of their season. I'm just being honest. I don't see much for the 49ers this season. I don't see a playoff berth. I see a double-digit loss season. And that's just me being honest about the situation. I don't like looking at the schedule too often and trying to forecast wins. But if you were to do that, where are the wins going to come from? You still got to play the Rams twice. Another game versus the Cardinals. The Seahawks game, like I said, Geno Smith's in there now. Russell Wilson's out with a middle finger injury. Who knows what's going to happen, but I just don't trust this coach. I can't belabor that point enough. I don't trust this coach at all. It's been 5 years. I've seen enough. Where is this offensive creativity I was told you had? As I said at the onset of this podcast, the word for the day is genius. People want to label Kyle Shanahan an offensive genius. Where's it at? Show it to me. Show and prove. How are you an offensive genius? Because right now the offense is sputtering. This was about the fourth game in a row where they had trouble scoring in the first half. This game, they got shut out in the first half. You get off to a slow start every week unless you're playing a winless Detroit Lions football team. In week one, put up 31 that week. So since week one versus Detroit, what has the 49er offense been? It's been stuck in the mud. It's been shit. It's not been good. And that all goes back to Kyle. Whether he wants to accept blame or criticism or not, that's on you. This is your offense. You design it. You're the architect of it. You call the plays. This is your offense. And the fact that they're struggling on a weekly basis is a reflection and an indictment upon you. The defense is holding up. The defense is still good. DeMeco Ryans deserves all the credit in the world. Maybe he should be the coach of the team. And we can just let Kyle focus on calling plays, which he's not even good at anymore. The team's in trouble. The team's in shambles. There's a lot to be worked on, a lot to be fixed. Some players need to go. I'm in favor right now just blowing the whole thing up and starting over again. Rebuild. That Super Bowl window is closed. It's slammed shut. It was only open for one season, and you lost. You got all the way to the Super Bowl, and you lost. There's a lot of guys currently on one-year deals and only got maybe 1 or 2 years left at the most. Let them go. Start making trades. Just blow it all up. Start all over again. You're not making the playoffs this year. If they do, take what I said. It's on tape right now. You're listening to it right now. I'm not going to delete it. If it's a freezing cold take, it's a freezing cold take. I'll wear that. But from my vantage point, from my perspective right now, this is not a playoff team. Not even close. 6, 7, maybe 8 wins at the most. That's it. Tops. 8 wins tops. If they're lucky. If they catch a few breaks. But from what I see right now, this currently is not a playoff caliber football team. There's a lot of holes, a lot of areas need to be worked on, and the coach is a fucking idiot who won't admit that he's a fucking idiot. You know what Kyle Shanahan is? He's a brilliant idiot. He's so smart that he's stupid. He's one of those people. I see people like that all the time. I work with people like that. They're so smart. They're so intelligent that they're fucking stupid. They got all the book smarts and analytics in the world, but they lack common sense. And as a great man once told me, when I was a sailor in the United States Navy, one of my chiefs, one of my bosses told me, he said, you know what, Gordon, One day I was in the shop complaining, as I usually was, about the overall ineptitude and this dumbass nature of most of the people I was surrounded by, and the stupid boneheaded decisions that were being made by people above me, people above my pay grade. And I was complaining and giving out one day about the lack of common sense being shown. And this man told me, "You know what, Gordon? Common sense ain't always so common." And that hit me like a ton of bricks. That resonated with me on so many levels. It's so true. Common sense ain't always so common. Common sense would tell you not to have your quarterback with more rushing attempts than your running back who was getting 4.8 yards a carry. But when you lack common sense, when you're a brilliant idiot like Kyle Shanahan is, you're so smart, you're too smart for your own good. Common sense would say don't call a trick play, a gadget play that you called 2 weeks ago because it's recently on film and the other team sees it coming and knows what to do against it. Common sense is not always so common. So a brilliant idiot like Kyle Shanahan calls this dumbass trick play knowing the other team sees it coming and is shut it down immediately. A brilliant idiot will never win a Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan, unless he changes his mentality and his overall approach and just gets rid of that level of arrogance and gets rid of all that ego, will never win a Super Bowl. As my grandmother always told me growing up, sometimes you got to put your pride in your suitcase and do what's right. And until Kyle Shanahan learns and understands to put his pride in his suitcase and do what's right, he'll never win. Mark my words on that. Unless he changes, he'll never win. And with all that being said, that concludes this episode of the Dion Gordon Podcast. The next episode, I promise you, will be a recap of all the NFL action in NFL Week 5, action-packed week. I've learned that I can't just lump the 49ers in with everybody else. I got too much to say about the 49ers. So I'll do the Niners separate and then do everybody else after that. So bear with me. Appreciate the support once again. Very much appreciative, always humble, forever grateful, thankful, all that and above. Ecstatic about the feedback that I receive. I appreciate it to a thousand. I appreciate it so much. Thank you ever so much. I can't say thank you enough. Now I'm just rambling. The podcast is over. Thank you for listening to the Dion Gordon Podcast. Appreciate it. Picture me rolling. I'm out.